Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
But I, for one, find it not only terribly disheartening, but also an offence against truth to hear you say you wish to be alone at a mere 26.
Perhaps you should not. I will be a governess. I will be content knowing my sister is taken care of.
Content?
Are you so miserable, my lady?
I beg your pardon?
Are you not alone yourself? I watch you. I see you. You are more than content.
Because I have lived a life. I am a widow. I have loved. I have lost. I have earned the right to do whatever I please, whenever I please, and however I please to do it. Child, you are not me. And if you continue down this road, you most certainly never will be.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to Bridgerton on Netflix. So sit back, relax, and let's get ready to spill the tea. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I will tell you this. I think the greatest burn I've ever heard in my life is she's a prickly spinster of a beast. Oh my word. You can't come back from that.
You can't.
When someone calls you a prickly spinster of a beast, call it quits.
Agreed.
You don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Nope.
That's the end.
I mean, you got to.
You might as well just start over life again.
Yes.
And figure it out, because no coming back.
No.
I don't even know what you do. It's scathing.
I mean, luckily there's reincarnation in India, so you can start over. I forgot the word. I was actually taught the Balinese word for when things reincarnate.
There's reincarnation in India.
Reinvent yourself through reincarnation. I was taught that when I held I had baby ducks. I bought them in the market, which were meant to be eaten or something.
And they croaked.
And I just thought I could keep one. I kept two. Did I keep two? I think I kept one, and it died.
Yeah.
And then they clapped, the people I was with, they clapped their hands, they said some word, and they said that it's going to be reincarnated, and it's okay.
Sounds great.
I did not feel great about that.
Were they prickly spinsters of a beast?
No, they were actually really lovely people.
Oh.
Yeah, they were lovely.
That was when Mary ditched me for an entire summer, essentially.
No, yeah. I earned a grant to go learn how to play the gamelan in Bali for a summer.
When we first started dating,
I would do that choice again. I love you.
I was heartbroken.
And I was hot in Bali.
Yes, you were.
All right, so you know what I need to start doing, Blake? Need to start doing an episode recap. And I don't know where you'd like me to do that in the show, because this is a binge-worthy show.
Yes.
And our friends have probably watched all the episodes, so I kind of feel the need to recap, and I don't know where you'd like me to do that. If it's here, there, everywhere, I don't know.
You know what? Let's do it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, before we do, I want to remind you all that you can hit that subscribe button all your favorite podcast apps. If you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, it actually means a great deal to us if you hit subscribe. You can also leave us a rating and review. It helps other people who love Bridgerton find our podcast. You can also go to maryandblake.com and find the Mary and Blake Facebook group. And if we bring a little bit of lumos into your life, some light into your days, please think about going to jointhenerdclan.com for as little as $2 a month. It's less than a cup of coffee. It is a heck of a lot less than a gallon of gas. I'll tell you what.
Oh, man.
You can be making a huge difference in Blake and my
so
life.
So we can afford some gas.
So we can afford gas. Exactly. But really, it's a mom and pop podcast. So thank you, friends, at jointhenerdclan.com for making all of this possible. You truly mean so much to us. And for those of you who are going to be joining the future, thank you. So this, of course, is episode 202. Edwina has drawn the eye of several suitors, and Kate has taken charge of deciding which ones Edwina will meet. To Anthony's dismay, she is staunchly against Anthony courting her. Mm-hmm. Colin returns from his travels, while Eloise becomes intrigued to find out who Lady Whistledown's identity is once again. After learning that Edwina will be at the horse races accompanied by another lord, Anthony takes his family and manages to integrate himself with Edwina. Queen Charlotte plans to use Edwina to unmask Lady Whistledown and invites the Sharma Sharmas to the palace. Sharma Sharma and the rest of the Sharmas. Benedict entertains the prospect of studying
art.
It's
a good band name.
What?
Sharma Sharma and the rest of the Sharmas.
Love it. Oh my gosh, too bad we don't play rock band anymore.
I know.
Anthony impresses Edwina with a speech at a soiree hosted by Lady Danbury. And Madame Delacroix catches Penelope at the market.
Yes, big deal.
For the letter K.
Very big deal here. All right. So that is that. I love the recap. Thank you very much, Mary. Ready to get into the details for this episode?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it. Okay. All right, Marvin. This is it. Episode 202. Titled Off to the Races. And you know what? I like this title, obviously, because they're going to the races. They're going to go see the horses. They're going to do the whole thing. However, this is, I feel like now that we've gotten a chance to get into the series, the first episode is there and we've watched it. We've seen the characters. We're introduced to the Sharma Sharmas. We're ready to go, and we are, as viewers, off to the races. The plot is off to the races, and trust me, there is a lot going on in this episode, and I think in terms of the plot itself. So I think it's an apropos title for what we're watching in terms of Bridgerton itself. The director, once again, is Tricia Brock. She directed the first episode of Bridgerton Season 2, and also the writer is Daniel Robinson. Now, this is Daniel has written for actually staying within the Shonda land, Shonda Rhimes world here. He has written for the television show How to Get Away with Murder. He served as a writer for that show also, but in addition to being a story editor and an executive story editor. Now, Marvin, I know. You're sitting there and you're asking yourself. That was funny.
You wish I was asking myself.
If you're not watching the live, you just missed a fantastic view of Mary. I know, Mary. I know you're sitting there and you're waiting with bated breath. What is a story editor? And what is the difference between a story editor and an executive story editor?
Sure, Blake.
I know you.
In your dreams.
You're just champing at the bit.
You keep doing that. I'm going to go back to the Bridgerton Instagram feed.
So a story editor.
Okay, I am interested. Tell me. Fine.
A story editor essentially is someone who works with the writers. They help develop all the stories with the writers. They make sure that the scripts are actually edited and that they're ready to go for the production itself, so that when somebody that is an actor or a director or an assistant director gets their hands on the script, it's actually something that they can read and they can produce. And they work with the official writer of the script to make sure that the story is okay, that it's following the Bible of what the show is trying to produce. They give the writer feedback on the quality of their work. And what they also do is they make sure that the writer stays true to what they're trying to commit to, like making sure that there are certain things in continuity, that there that each page is essentially 60 seconds worth of television screen time. And then when we talk about that, then we get into the executive story editor. Now, the executive story editor, it's more senior to the story editor, but it's essentially the same thing. It's really just it's not even really a bump in pay. It's just you're an executive story editor now. You've been working in our business here for 2 or 3 years, you deserve a new title. And then eventually you kind of move into the co-producer role and you go from there. And then you move up to the actual writer terminology itself. So that is that. And now, Mary, I know that you were waiting, you were champing at the bit, Mary. And now you have your answer and you're so happy. that we've described and delineated the difference between story editor and an executive story editor.
You can tell yourself that.
So what do you got? What is your...
My cup of tea.
What's your cup of tea rating here?
My cup of tea is the same rating that I had actually for the premiere episode, which is a 4.6. And for y'all who follow the Marianne Blake line of podcasts, that's a little low.
It is not a tad super low. For you.
It's not like 4.3 low, but it's like, whew, got a little chilly in here. And it's because it's still getting things ramped up. And yeah. It takes me a little while to be super excited.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll get into that.
I know. All right. For me, that's my cups.
All right. For me, my cup of tea rating, I'm giving it 4, which is lower than the previous episode. I think I gave it a 4.1 last episode. I'm giving it a 4 because it's good. I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy living in the world. Agreed. I enjoy the Bridgerton family.
Yes.
The dynamic.
Yes.
But my doors ain't getting blown off.
I want to be a Bridgerton.
Who wouldn't want to be a Bridgerton?
Honestly, you've got it made in the shade if you're a Bridgerton.
Right?
The snacks for days.
Always snacks.
Flowers. Outfits. Always someone to talk to.
It, you know.
And there's so many kids that your mom can't really stay mad at you for long. It gets diluted.
Yeah, because like, it's like when you're running with a pack of animals, like there's less likelihood
I've never done that in my life.
And the bigger the pack of the animals, the less likely you are to
All I'm
like,
picturing
eaten.
Is Simba. In the wildebeest and then Mufasa's death, but okay.
Long live the king.
Oh, that is one of the few times in a Broadway performance that I've cried.
Get out of here.
When fake lion Mufasa died. I've seen the bloody Lion King a million times. It just got me.
Fake Mufasa dies
yep.
in a Broadway show.
Fofasa. Oh, it was the music. Oh my God. It was when Simba came and he thought it was his fault and I was just moved.
Run away, Simba.
I was sobbing.
Oh, Jeremy Irons is perfect in
Concur.
That role.
Okay.
Sorry.
But you were saying running with lots of animals.
Yeah, no, in terms of the Bridgertons, like it's like if you're running with a pack of animals and you're like less likely to get eaten if there are more animals because there's more to choose
from.
Is
this one of the examples where you're talking about where I probably shouldn't go on ADHD medication in case I think find out that I actually do have it because I wouldn't lead us to Mufasa, aka Fofasa.
And then Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, I asked Blake recently, I was like, do you think I have an issue? And he's like, of course you have an issue, but that's what I love about it when we podcast. And
makes a great podcasting.
Oh, we're still on your cups of tea rating. Okay,
so,
let's move on.
I'm giving it a 4. All right, what do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yes, I am.
My good, still the Sharma Sharma confusion continues.
How? You know that Kate is Kate and Edwina is Edwina.
But they still call her. This is Miss Sharma. This is Miss Edwina Sharma. Sorry, she already has a date to the race. Don't worry, I was hoping to date you, Miss Sharma. I don't think her name is said once in this episode.
No, I don't think they have the
still just
like,
Miss
the little,
Sharma.
They have the little pet names between Kate and Edwina.
Yes,
Dee Dee and Bon.
Yeah,
I'm probably just like just raking those names across the coals right now. So I apologize if I'm mispronouncing.
Okay,
but. Yeah, they have the pet names.
Yes.
Which is another layer of the Sharma
confusion. Yes. Dee Dee Sharma Sharma.
but.
Bon Edwita Sharma.
They very rarely say Kate. Very, very rarely.
So I love it. I kind of just want to see how long the Sharma Sharma goes on for.
No, I think
does she get a name? When does she get upgraded to having her own name be said in public?
I'm thinking that the t-shirt should say Sharma and the Sharmas. That should be the band t-shirt.
So that's my great. Is it still going on? And I'm glad that had I not clarified this with people, aka you, I would still think that was her name. my bad. Eloise, when she first approaches the print shop boy. So Eloise, she's on that carriage. What?
Caitlin on Facebook says, we all know who doesn't like it when Mary doesn't stay on subject. Good old Lou.
Lou. Lou on iTunes.
Lou on iTunes lives on. Lou lives. For those of you who don't know, we got a bad rating on iTunes once, and it's become an inside joke now where someone didn't like the fact that Mary just has a couple of tangents every once in a while. And
every day.
Lou continues on. I don't know how. It's like love in The Last Kingdom. Yeah. Lou is eternal. He or she goes on.
So, Eloise, yes. Approaching the print shop boy. Tell me what you know about her. It was so awkward, so play. So like last episode, episode one, I had that moment where I felt like I was in a play with Sharma Sharma and Edwina Sharma. This is a moment that took me out when Eloise went up and she just is like, tell me what you know. And maybe it's Eloise's immaturity, but it just felt so fake and forced and like a play.
I'm not sure if it's Eloise's immaturity. I wonder if it is... I think it's just maybe the staging of it, and I wonder if there's like just a lack of familiarity. I'm not sure what it is, but there's a disconnect.
Yes, which is fine. It just I got disconnected in that moment. My great, the horse race whistle.
Oh yeah,
and
man.
The whole like, come on, get on, get on. I loved it.
That was
so
legit.
Much. It made me feel like I was in Fenway eating a Frank at a Yankees Red Sox game.
Yes, absolutely. Next to me.
Yes. And you would be saying, oh God, how do you heckle the batters?
Oh, I got a whole bunch
of
stuff.
Give me one. Because this would be you at the races.
I'm not going to go into the whole thing right
there's
now.
You don't even know one. You haven't been to a game in that long. This is what COVID has
done
to you.
I know them. It's just
okay,
baseball.
Okay, now what would you say? Okay?
Well, I wouldn't heckle the next... I mean, if I'm going to heckle somebody, it's going to be, hey, you suck. I'm in your head.
No.
You know? But no.
Like when you're yelling in the stands, things.
If I say it to support, to be like, see it and rip! You know? See it and rip!
Okay, that's one I've heard.
Yeah, see the ball and rip it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, what's another one?
Hey, 2-7, get in there.
Yep, get in. Get in there. That's
get in there.
Get in there.
Put some hair on it.
Okay, that would have been you. There would have been Sharma Sharma, woo-hoo, and Blake, get in there.
Get in there.
So I totally felt like that would have been us at the races.
Oh, man.
It's his birthday. Because I love to know what the baseball players' birthdays are.
It's your birthday.
Okay. Your GBGs.
Leah in Korea here says, Mary, it's based on British etiquette, the whole Sharma Sharma thing. The eldest daughter of a family is always introduced and addressed as Miss whatever the family name is. And in this case, it's Sharma. So the eldest daughter is always Miss Sharma. And all the younger sisters are always addressed as or introduced as Miss Edwina. So it depends on the age of the family and where you stand within the structure of that family age. Fair enough?
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, Leah in Korea. I appreciate that knowledge drop. By the way, we received tons of emails with that very
information. I love when I don't know things and everyone's Mary. First off, Google it, Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of people here and Caitlin and Janelle saying that this was Kate's My Fair Lady moment. Fair enough. But my good, my bad, and my great. First, the good is the fencing scene with the brothers.
Oh my God, you loved that scene
because it's a guy thing.
Because you want to be in the family.
Well, yeah, obviously. But I love their relationships. I love that each of the characters' personalities come out within that fencing match.
Yes.
I think that is spectacular.
Yes.
And it gives you a sense of what is at stake for Anthony and what he's trying to do and why certain things are said, why they're not said, and how he's approaching this entire process.
You know, it's so interesting to watch it with the brothers being in the line that they are in, because I wonder if people see themselves as a different Bridgerton brother. In that scene, you know, eldest and middle and youngest or whatever. Like, I think it's just, I know he's not the youngest because there's still more.
Sure.
Gregory. But
whatever.
But, you know, like you were laughing and you kept saying, oh, you know, Benedict cracks me up.
Yes. Benedict's sneaky best character on the whole show.
And I, in the last episode, said I was like Anthony, where I would have been like, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need your ring, bada bing, bada boom. And I wonder if people see themselves in birth order and how they've had to relate in their families through that.
Huh, interesting.
Like, even though I'm not the eldest, I'm the acting eldest in my family because my sister has special needs. And I've had to kind of take charge many times. Mm-hmm. And we see that with Kate, too.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Kate is all about the competition.
And then you wanted to be a professional artist, too.
That's true. Entirely true. I love art. I love the whole thing. So I think Benedict, sneaky best character on the whole show. And I cannot wait for his season, whenever that might be, because apparently we're skipping Benedict within the book order and we're moving on, right on to Colin, which is, you know, it is what it is. All right. So my bad, here's the thing with my bad. It just feels like we're getting a slightly repetitive. Like there are, like we're trying to find out who Lady Whistledown is, and yep, there are deals afoot, and we're using people as bait, and we're trying to figure out, like, is Eloise there, and the Queen is trying to get the lowdown on who's who and who's hanging out with the Charm is, and it just, like, I don't know. It just feels a tad like been here, done that.
Well, I kind of like it, though.
Where are we moving to?
I like it I mean, it's been a while since season one of Bridgerton, and not everybody is like us who rewatches everything and gets really well acquainted. So I think that they need to use these introductory episodes as even though there may be moments of boredom for people like us who are like, okay, come on, we already know this fact. They need to make it for the more casual viewer.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Not the psychopaths like you and I.
And all the nerds that are watching
yes,
right now. Yeah.
Yes.
I have a great, and it's a tie.
Oh, I love when you have ties.
Yeah, I was just going to say that shocks
Sarcasm.
Me because you always tell me how much you hate when I have a tie.
Oh, I know. I thought I'd mix it up.
The first one is this. There are a couple of examples within the camera work of this show that when a certain character is speaking, but they're speaking about another character, and they're all in the same scene. Instead of cutting to another shot of that particular character, they're just changing the focus. And instead of focusing on person A, then they change the focus, and then it focuses correctly on person B. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like when people aren't lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't give me the Taken treatment when you need 21 different camera angles to show me Liam Neeson jump over a fence. I don't want that.
Yes.
Unless there's a specific reason for it. I love when cameramen and camera operators and directors get creative. And this isn't necessarily even creative. It's just...
It's different.
It's use of camera and it's use of the tools. And it's something that I think a lot of shows have fallen back on, which is... Okay, we have camera A, we have camera B, we're going back and forth between the two. No. Like, use the camera the way that it's intended to be. Have it move with the characters. Have it show the depth of field. Allow that camera to breathe and tell a story visually unto itself. And that is what a lot of these scenes achieved by just doing something as simple as changing the focus. Mm-hmm. I really, really liked that. And then there's another subtle blink and you'll miss it moment in this episode. Once Penelope sees Colin, she's like, oh my God, Colin, yay. And he goes to talk to her and she goes to talk to him. And by the way, she was speaking with Edwina and she was, you know, just staying on the wall, like just.
Oh, okay. Colin first arrives when she's talking with.
Yes.
Eloise.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I apologize. When they're at the ball. Okay. And she's talking with Edwina, and Edwina says, oh, I love your dress, and like kind of like gives her this little bit of confidence, and thank you for noticing me, and yada yada. And then Colin shows up. Oh my God, Colin, hey, how are you? And she moves away from the wall and goes into the middle of the hall to speak to Colin.
Ugh.
And then she speaks to Colin, and he gives her the just death blow of you're not real. You're my friend
woman.
Penelope. And that's this subtle blink and you'll miss it moment is she immediately backs up against the wall again. So you see her come out of her shell, go speak to Colin, do the thing, and she, in air quotes, fails, and then moves back to her comfort space of being on the wall.
Have you ever had somebody do that to you? Where they are like, you are my friend. No, sorry. Opposite. I'm glad I can help bring you to the dance floor.
Yeah, that's true.
I've definitely helped you do that. But have you had anybody in your life ever do that to you where it's like, no, you're my friend?
Yes, actually, I can tell you. Yes, I've had that happen to me before.
Yeah.
And that's not fun. That's not fun. Have you had that happen to you before?
Opposite.
What? You've done that to somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I don't even want to know. Don't even want to know.
What?
I don't like knowing about them. I don't like knowing about the other people. It's just
one of the guys look like Edward Norton too much and just weirded me out. I'm not into him.
You're not into Edward Norton?
Nope.
Not even like prime Edward Norton?
Nope.
Like
no.
No, not at all.
Not prime for me. No. Wow. Nope.
Like American History X. I mean, goodbye. Minus the whole Nazi
nope.
thing. But like
goodbye.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting.
Thanks.
The score, Edward Norton?
No, I'm all set.
Wow.
Not my type. And I couldn't say that. Couldn't be like, sorry, you remind me too much of Edward Norton. Like that wouldn't
I'm afraid you're going to curb stomp me.
But instead, you're just a really good friend.
She got friend zoned. She totally got friend zoned. By the way, way underrated. The friend zone.
You love that movie. That movie
is spectacular in every way. Love the friend zone. Sorry. Mary's giving me the land the plane, Helen.
Yes.
All right. So what do you got for this now that I got the GBT? Oh, by the way, there's no music in this episode.
No, so disappointed.
Yeah, there's no covers in this episode.
I watched this episode 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
And I thought, am I just too distracted? Because there's so many people, places, and things going on. So many beautiful dresses. Can I please have Sharma's entire wardrobe? I'm all about those jewel-toned teals. But no, there was no cool music covers.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe they're waiting for the right needle drop moment.
Okay.
Mary, I think what I want to talk about is this. The first episode, while it introduces, I think, once again, you know, us as viewers to the characters once more and where they all stand and where they are. I think we got a little bit more of an Anthony flavor from the first episode. And in this episode, we get more of a Kate flavor. Mm. It feels more about her. And that's why I played the conversation between she
and Lady Danbury.
And Lady Danbury together first, because this feels like it sets the stakes for Kate a little bit more. I mean, we know of the arrangement that she has with the Sheffields, but this is more personal. This is, I'm going to be a governor. I'm going to be a governess. I'm going to be happy to live by myself. And it just feels like Kate is getting a more of an understanding of Anthony and what he could potentially do to Edwina. It just... I'm getting that sense. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. I think between seeing her writing down the list of the eligible bachelors that she approves of, and then when they do come a-courting for Edwina with all their flowers and they're standing in the line and she's the one opening and shutting the doors, letting the gentlemen know they need to be patient. Mm-hmm. It's very, very Sharma heavy. but you really get to see the dedication and devotion that she has to this. And then when she is speaking to Lady Danbury and letting her know about the plans and her, you know, just planning to be single forever and how she's going to be okay with that. There's a lot of depth. And yet what's so interesting is, you know, her wanting to find someone for Edwina, like the easy button would just be whatever. Lord Bridgerton wants you easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're done. Easy button, you know, like mission accomplished. But she wants Edwina to find that love.
Mm-hmm.
She really, really wants her to. And is trying her hardest, yet still making sure they're suitable. She really wants to fight that fight for her sister.
Yeah, and that's why I keep saying, but I go back to the idea that this is, and again, we have some stuff with Anthony. If you're looking at the live right now, we have the fencing scene, which it's a perfect play, aspect of what the brothers are, what their personalities are, and how they interact with each other, especially when you know, when Anthony says that Benedict honors him by not holding back, and then he sits him on his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we have that, the stuff with Kate feels like we have to understand and appreciate and value the emotional math for Kate and what it means for her to be successful, and also what that entails for her interactions with Anthony. In particular, I love when she looks so happy and so satisfied and so smug. The smugness level when Anthony brings the horse. It is to the moon. Skyrockets.
He got that bow for that horse, by the way, where you get the big bows for the cars when you get someone a car on Christmas. Who are those people? Blake and I curse those commercials every holiday season.
Hate them.
Who gets a car on Christmas? B, where do you get the bow?
Oh, yeah. How do you even get that bow? Do you get it on Etsy? Is it an Amazon thing?
I don't even know.
Who makes that bow?
Listen, if you
is it a real bow, like a silk bow, or is it
plastic? Do they just send you ribbon with instructions, like an IKEA thing that you have to staple it together?
You know those things that, like, when you pull the string, it like makes all the little. It makes
that
all
would
the
make
little.
Sense.
Do you pull the string,
or
it becomes
do they have
a giant ass
a
bow?
A room of bows at the car dealerships, and they're like, "Don't open that closet."
Do you have to give the bow back?
Yeah. Is it a loaner bow?
Is it a loaner bow?
Is there a magnet on the bow so it stays on in case it's a blustery Christmas morning? I mean, there are so many questions with the dang bow.
Oh, man. All right. So what you can clearly tell, I think, irrespective of what we already know, at least from the advertising of the show, is that we're setting up an enemies to lovers scenario between Kate and Anthony.
Love it.
And I'm always a big fan of those kind of stories.
That would have been us if we knew each other younger.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. You would have hated me, and I would have ranked on you to the end of the earth. Like, it never would have ended.
It would have taken a lot for me to date you.
That's true.
If I
that's
knew you good, when you were younger.
That's a good point.
You would have had to, like, give me CPR and save endangered turtles. By accident, but you still would have saved them because you wouldn't have done it on purpose.
Yeah. So I'm always a big fan of those kind of stories. It kind of, you know, in storytelling, there is a very, very extraordinarily thin line between enemies and lovers. In much a sense that an enemy is someone who has the same goal as an antagonist has the same exact goal as a protagonist, generally, but they're doing it in a way that is opposite of the protagonist. One that is, you know, the greatest example is the Dark Knight, the Joker and Batman, right? The Joker wants the soul of Gotham, and Batman wants to protect the soul of Gotham. That meaning
the people.
And I wouldn't
say this is the greatest example, but okay.
No, it is. It really is. And however, Batman is protecting the soul of Gotham in one way, and the Joker is trying to compete for the soul of Gotham in a different way. Like, remember when he gets the people on the boat and he makes them, like, with the bomb, and doesn't matter. Whatever. What I'm trying to say is this.
How about Kylo Ren?
And what?
Enemies to lovers.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
That's more modern.
More modern. Yep. I will give you that. By the way, yeah, speaking of that, Dark Knight came out 14 years ago. Can you believe
that? Let's keep up with the times.
Holy smokes. But I love the enemies to lovers trope, because there is such a fine line between enemies and lovers, and what that means in that quick little push, what has to happen in order for that to facilitate itself.
It makes me think about what goes through your body when you are passionate without actually being able to be to act upon it. And then when you are filled with anger and fury, but you are not able to physically act upon it. You know how they say that anxiety and excitement actually have the same feelings in your body? I learned this because I have high functioning anxiety, for those mm-hmm. of you who don't know. And when you are anxious and you've got the butterflies in your stomach and your body's kind of twitching and you're kind of, you feel like your body's buzzing, that when you are excited about something and you're very much so looking forward to something, you may be having the same physical reactions. There could be butterflies in your stomach. Your hands might be shaking. You might be sweating. Think about how many times you've sweated because you're so excited about something. So I've learned that when I'm nervous and anxious about something, I can try to tell my body, no, body, maybe you're just excited. Maybe you just need to calm down because you're just excited. But it made me think about with this lovers and enemies that that passion mm-hmm. could kind of be seen that same way. You know, when you're having this drive and the fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I burned for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a great personification of that fire and that drive and that line mm-hmm. is the race itself.
Yes.
Which is, they're busting each other's balls hardcore.
But Anthony keeps giving her this look of like, you're amazing.
Right. And again, it goes back to the idea that Anthony sees Edwina as a match, but what we recognize, and this is the great thing too, right? When we see a deficiency in a character and we know the answer, we know it. And this is when you can tell when something is holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
It works really well in comedies. Like, for example, Michael Scott. Michael Scott is a character in The Office that you know has these certain things that he can't see. Certain things that he just... Like the fact that he's a total train wreck, but he thinks he's the world's greatest boss. And yeah. as viewers, we see that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is funny.
Yes.
And he puts himself in funny positions because of that gap between mm-hmm. what he sees and what he is. And it's harder to work in dramas unless you're using it in a way that we're doing now, which is enemies to lovers, that kind of deal. We see the fact that Anthony has a blind spot, and that's love. And how do we get him to move through that gap? How do we, and that's what this season is about. It is that trajectory through that gap, and we get that dramatic irony of knowing, okay, there is an answer here, and that is Sharma Sharma. And another perfect example of what is happening here is this. The gift of the horse, while it's funny, and it is a blind spot, and it is a gap that we're referring to.
Does he get a refund? Was the tag still on it?
The funny thing is that he gets it thinking that Edwina would love it. Mm-hmm. But she likes the horse because it reminds her of a fictional character. It mm-hmm. is fake. Mm-hmm. It is not real. Whereas that gift of a horse would probably be better suited to Kate.
Yes.
Because she, as we have noticed at the first episode, is an excellent rider.
Yes.
It is by design mm-hmm. that we have a fictional character being juxtaposed against a real character, real in quotes, character in Kate, who would appreciate an actual real life horse.
Mm-hmm.
I find that to be fascinating.
Agreed.
Fascinating stuff.
You know what I think would be fascinating? You know how we have our little scribbling
predictions.
Yeah. I think we need to add to our scribbling predictions, who does Edwina end up with?
I think it's someone we haven't met yet.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think she ends up with anybody. She doesn't end up with a Bridgerton.
She's hopefully not going to end up with a Featherington, because I just get like too much.
No, that's too much. It's someone that we haven't met.
How about someone that we met from this episode? How about the lemonade guy? He was nice. Or the guy that likes India. He was nice. Granted, a fibber.
Yeah, no, because he's in on Kate. So if, you know what? Here you go, Mary. I like this.
Thank you.
Scribbling prediction, she ends up with the lemonade guy.
Love it.
Because he seems to be genuinely in on her.
And he got lemonade. He probably waited in a wicked long line.
Oh, you know it was hot.
Oh my gosh. You know, he probably has to pee.
How smelly must it have been?
Just watching the lemonade be poured into a cup.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, I've already dedicated myself to this line. There's still 20 people to go, but if I get out now, there's going to be 40 people.
Yeah, I know. I can't leave. I've already invested all the time.
Oh, and he just keeps seeing that pour. Oh, I don't even remember his name.
I couldn't even. Was it Lord Melton?
Dawson? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
But, I mean, but you know.
I don't want the guy that was complaining with the flowers. When is it going to be my turn?
Yeah.
Not
get out
him.
Of here, guy.
Not you. You're
guy's,
a whiner.
Poor guy's probably sweating bullets in that hat.
Yeah. Lemonade guy.
Lemonade guy. I think he might be the thing.
In honor of This Is Us, that's who we're going to root for.
Oh, sure. Why not? I'll give that to you.
Okay. So. Are you still rocking and rolling with the Sharmas?
Let's see. What else do I got here?
Because I would love to delve into Penelope a little bit.
Okay, what do you got for Penelope? What do you got for Penelope?
Oh my goodness gracious!
Lord Lumley is Janelle says
Lord
on
Lumley.
I was close. Melton. Mm. You know what Melton is from?
No.
Downton Abbey.
Okay,
that's what it's from.
Love it.
I got that. I got that screwed up.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, just poor Penelope is. Practically drooling over Colin and his coming back home early, and who could blame her? I'm glad Colin got rid of the facial hair, because that was not great.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Not great. Mm-mm. Oh my gosh, by the way, my physical therapist who had to do physical therapy on my mouth.
Okay.
Awkward.
How does that even work?
So he's just like, just so you know, I will wear a glove. And I said, I hope so. And then he stuck his thumb on my lower jaw teeth and sat behind me and held my forehead and just pushed my lower right teeth down 30 times and then said, okay, rest. And then did it 3 more times, like 3 sets of 30.
That is awkward.
Yeah.
And with the preamble of like, oh, by the way, just so you know, I'm probably going to wear a glove. Like it's like not normal to not wear a glove.
Like, do people think you're not going to wear a glove when you're doing mouth, inside mouth physical therapy, man?
Not great, Bob.
And then he kept readjusting his mask because his facial hair was so fluffy and unkept. And then when he needed to show me my jaw exercises that I need to do, he wants me to pretend that I'm rolling a pencil between my teeth.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
You do that for like a couple minutes. You're going to be tired.
Well, so he pulled down his mask.
Uh-huh.
And his beard was just so yuck.
Oh, yeah?
Like, brush
like birds
that,
are living in there?
Like comb it. I mean, Hagrid's hair has nothing on this guy's beard. Thank God he had to wear a mask. So when I saw Colin...
You're a wizard, Harry.
I mean, it's nothing compared to my physical therapist who shoves his thumb in my mouth's beard.
When you keep saying shove...
He shoves his thumb in my mouth.
I keep thinking shoves that it you're going to say something else.
That's what she said!
I have had some weird physical therapy. Between that,
yeah, and your witch
and then
lady?
My hoo-ha. No, my mental therapy. Yes, yeah. I have a witch, but my hoo-ha, I had to have physical therapy because somewhere inside there was spasming after I had kids. Third base as therapy. Think about that. yep, PT.
Bam.
PT and pussy. So, beard,
okay.
Colin,
so, yes.
Slight facial hair.
Out on the facial
but
hair.
But Penelope was just so excited to see him.
Yes.
And that moment that he looks at her, like, she comes in and everybody is there, and Hyacinth's like, I'm 2 inches taller than Gregory, no you're not. And then Colin just has this, like, little look at Penelope.
Mm.
And then when they're at the ball at the at the races, and he says, you're the person who wrote back to me the most.
Yes.
Oh my god.
But then we're left with the idea that I just wanted to be with myself and you're my friend. Is this something that he is trying to tell himself, or do you think he honestly believes it?
I think he honestly believes it, because she's always been there. like a sibling. Like, she's grown up at his house with Eloise, and he sees Eloise as his young sister. I don't think he sees Penelope as a woman yet, due to the age and her proximity of age with Eloise.
Yeah.
As Eloise continues to be further into society, and I think as Colin sees someone else maybe get interested in Penelope, that's when
the feelings are going to be are going to be recognized.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think there's anything malicious in his intent when he says that. I don't think.
But because she's just been friend-zoned, because she's always been a friend. She was never on the table because she's Eloise's best friend.
Right, right.
I'm just so excited for her and yet so bothered for her with Eloise.
How come?
Because Eloise keeps blowing up her spot as she's talking to Colin.
Oh, yeah.
And then Eloise finds this pamphlet on dog doo-doo and says, oh, I figured it all out. And we've got this issue. We've got this issue with the K.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about
Eloise?
What do you like? I said at the top of our episode, Mary, there's a lot going on here. We have Eloise being, you know, introduced into the world, the dating world. There
into society,
into the ton. Then we have the friendship between she and Penelope.
Yes.
Then we have the investigation that she
has. Which has been ongoing since last season.
I know, but what I'm saying is there's a lot of things happening here. On top of that, we have Edwina with Anthony. We have Kate with Anthony. We have the Colin and Penelope aspect. Then we have the Queen and Lady Danbury. By the way, that friendship, oh my God. The mimosas that I would love to share with those two. Oh, all day, every day.
See, it's so different than me.
What do you mean?
I would not want to hang out with them.
Those two.
I would not want to be around fabulous. The Queen at all. I know. And that's like your jam.
If like they are a walking People magazine. And
which Blake used to subscribe to.
Oh,
Us.
People, yeah. Us. Yeah.
All the trash.
Human Us magazines. Oh, give me gosh. All the rag.
And here I am with National Geographic.
Give me all the rags.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so the different. Best. And what I would give, like when Lady Danbury goes up there and says, hey, what are you doing? I know what you're doing here. And she wags her cane a little bit the way that she does when she's making a point.
Oh, her cane swagger.
The cane swagger is through the roof. Love it. I love every second of it. I would give anything just to hang out with those two.
I know you would.
And be a fly in the wall and just I'm actually looking quite forward to the spinoff with the Queen because it's going to be highlighting the relationship between Lady Danbury and she, and also the Bridgerton mom and where and how she fits in all that. Oh. Give it all to me.
I'm much more Lady Bridgerton. Do you agree?
Yes, I would totally agree. I would totally agree.
I don't want to be in on that inner circle.
No.
I don't want any of that. Just give me my kids and my cake and my piano.
Yeah. But there's a lot happening here. And then we get into this whole thing of like then when she goes to the place and she talks to the guy.
Who's the she? I hate
sorry, Eloise. Eloise. When Eloise goes to the printer and she talks to the guy and the guy busts her balls a little bit.
Okay.
So you know that's going to go somewhere because that's obviously an enemies to lovers type deal as well.
Ooh.
And there's a lot happening here. And between that and the fact that we know that this is going to be a Kate and...
Oh, and there's a wedding in this episode. Philippa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she gets married. Like, that's a thing.
The Finches are now part of the Featherington family.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously they made sure that they got paid, which is, you know, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the show spreading itself too thin, in your opinion, Mary? Are you satisfied with the... with what appears to be...
I'm actually quite satisfied.
Cast.
Yeah. There are a couple of characters who I'm bored with. I am bored with the new Lord Featherington. I'm good that he's Gaston, but like nice Gaston.
Yeah, you have all the stuff on the wall. That's great for you, buddy.
Oh my gosh,
but who were you?
He's Gaston.
Yeah. Good point.
I also don't care about the guy that now owns a gentleman's club. I even forgot his name, the wrestler,
oh,
the boxer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what?
Yep.
I agree with you. Yep. That will come into play. Mondrich is his name.
Okay.
That will come into play.
But, like, I don't care.
At some point.
And like you said, there's so much that has to be juggled right now that only a couple of things can have my true attention and my desire.
Yeah.
And for me, opening up a new gentleman's club and introducing Benedict.
Yeah, the significance will be in Benedict because he will be able to meet with the guy that
the artist
that will get him into the school that he wants to get into.
Bores me.
You can't.
I can
Benedict
say whatever I want. Just because you like Benedict doesn't mean I have to like Benedict.
That's why I stopped myself when I said you can't. Because I'm not saying that you can't, but I'm
saying. I'm surprised you stopped yourself.
I think Benedict is going to go somewhere. And I hope he
goes far away. I hope he goes further away than Greece. I mean, he's fun, but like.
No, Colin. You're thinking of Colin.
No, I'm not. I want him to go as far away.
Oh, gotcha.
Further away than Greece. Because gotcha. Colin was only gone for a little bit of time. He's gone for, what, 2 episodes? 1.5?
Sure. And he had a whole range of experiences.
I'm just bored of Benedict. He gives me nothing.
Benedict's great.
He gives me nothing
Sneaky
right now.
Sneaky best character. Sneaky best. what did you think of...
Speaking of Benedict, who he used to bang... Mademoiselle.
Yes.
Sees Penelope Featherington getting the unbroken
The kid. Modiste.
The Modiste.
Yes.
Sees Penelope in the town.
Yes.
Dressed in gorgeous. I mean, like, Penelope, if you're trying to be undercover, please wear something a little less bold. A little less bold.
Yeah, you'd be a little bit more conspicuous, will you?
Wear gray. Wear some linen-colored thing.
This is obviously... how some of the Lady Whistledown stuff gets figured out. What that means is, I think, up for grabs. What do you think it means, Mary?
Penelope's going to have her hands full.
In what way?
The doors are closing in on her. She's got Eloise trying to figure things out with the print shop. And then she's got Colin, who may be coming on the market. Who knows? Who knows what's going on? So she has to, like, she's friend-zoned. So you have to figure that out. And now she has the Modiste potentially knowing who she is.
Hmm.
Or at least knowing that she's...
Does the Modiste use this to her advantage? Let's start from the beginning. Does the Modiste figure out that she is Lady Whistledown?
No.
Okay.
No.
So then what does it mean then? If she doesn't figure it out, what does it mean then to you?
Does she figure it out right? Like, has she figured it out in this episode? Does she see Penelope running and she knows right away what that means? I don't think so.
Okay. So then what does it mean for Penelope going forward that the Modiste has seen her if you don't think that she's
Well, she will figure it out.
Yeah.
Or she'll ask her. She'll ask her in front of her mom and it's going to get her in trouble and she can no longer spend her pen money or whatever. Her mom might tell her she can't go shopping anymore.
It'll be an interesting thing.
Maybe Penelope is going to have to keep the Modiste's mouth shut by buying dresses. Because she hates her dresses.
Oh, I like that idea.
And she has so much money. So maybe she's just going to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll buy all this stuff from you.
Yeah, so just to show you
I don't want to wear yellow
hush
anymore.
Money.
Yes.
Hush money. She needs hush money.
But in a gown.
I like it. Tanya here says that Benedict gets to be playful since he's not the firstborn in charge and I'm all for
it. That's why I think Blake relates to him.
What does that mean?
You're the baby of the family. You know nothing about the responsibilities that the eldest have to deal with. Growing up? I'm not talking about the recent lifelong struggles. I'm saying growing up, life was pretty cush.
Fair enough.
For you.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. All right, Mary, anything else that you want to say?
You weren't the one who was drawing up fire evacuation plans for the family.
No, I was not.
Saying we need to practice this once a
month. You know, there's a funny story I have about fire evacuation. The one time that my fire alarm went off in my house, mm-hmm. I was terrified because it wasn't like a beep, beep, beep. It was like a very deep, guttural, like terrifying sound.
Mm-hmm.
I got up and I just ran out of the house. Good. I ran out of the house. I didn't wait for anybody. I didn't wake anybody up. I just ran right out of the house and I realized I wasn't wearing clothes. Just got up, wasn't wearing clothes outside of my house.
I mean, that's a choice.
It was terrifying.
My fire alarm went off freshman year of college, mm-hmm. and I was in the shower.
Oh, yeah. How'd that work out for you in your towel?
That's how I made friends.
Was it in the winter?
Between that and Dunkaroos. And
was it in the winter or was it in...
It was in the fall. Oh, it was like a fire drill. Okay. You know, they do fire drills, except I was in the shower. And I'm standing there thinking, hopefully this is a fire drill. If it's not a fire drill, I am in the shower. Mm-hmm. So I could wait it out and just play chicken with the flames.
You're in water. I mean, it should be fine.
I was like, well, it depends how bad the flames are. And if it really gets that bad, I had a plan. I could get my towel sopping wet and run out naked.
Oh, that makes
sense. Covered in the towel.
Yeah.
Because if it's a fire, whatevs. You see my butt.
That happens.
Yeah. It's college.
Anything else you want to say about this episode, my love?
No.
Yeah, no, I think we're good. I think we're in a good place here.
I concur.
All right, let's close this bad boy out, shall we? Let's do it.
We want to thank you all so incredibly much and remind you that Bridgerton with Marion Blake now has a complimentary text service. So if you want to join us live on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, you can. If you live in the U.S., all you need to do is text the phone number 81010. That's 81010. And in the message field, you're going to put the at symbol and then write Kate Sharma, KateSharma, no spaces, all one word, directly after that at sign, and that will add you automatically to it. If you're outside the US, you can just send us a message and we will send you the URL link that will get you signed up as well, because we would love for you to come and join us when we are able to go live.
And you know what we would love to? If you looked at us the same way that Kate looks at Anthony and the way that Anthony looks at Kate, when
I don't know if I want that.
No, I kind of do. You want to know why? Because that means we're all together here, and you can become a member at jointhenerdclan.com, and we get to have that kind of relationship. We get to make some bad decisions together and whistle and watch races and do the whole thing.
Okay.
I kind of feel bad for Edwina. This is not going to end well for her.
She might get the lemonade guy who seems really nice.
I don't know. Like, can you imagine how bad this is going to end up? Like, and it's not just bad because of Anthony and how that's going to, you know how that's going to be. What's going to be really bad is what happens between Kate and Edwina.
Hopefully Edwina doesn't end up with the kid who plays marbles. That's
marble
what I'm hoping.
Kid. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried for Edwina. What happens? Like, that's another thing too, that I'm struggling with. How can I root for the Kate and Anthony relationship if I know how bad this is going to end up for Edwina? She's done nothing wrong. She's done nothing to anybody about anything.
Maybe she'll find a different love match.
That's what I'm hoping. That's the only way that we can...
That you can be okay with it.
And if she sees something and says, I get it. I'm not meant to be with Anthony. Like, if she makes that decision...
God, it obviously means she did not see season one, episode one of Anthony's butt.
Oh, the thrusting?
On a tree.
Mary loves thrusting butt.
She loves thrusting butt.
We're going to have to
you
clip
that.
We're going to clip it.
No, I really don't need it. I don't need it clipped. On that note.
All right.
My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you... I don't know how we end this.
It's on the notes, Marvin.
Now go brew some more tea.
Go thrust some butt. Oh, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.